welcome to another episode of the My No Mile podcast. This week we're hitting the Thames Path and we're linking up with a lady who is one of the leading faces in sports broadcast right now. Known best for her warmth on air as well as her wit. She's relatable, fun and a go-getter. She's been named twice the SJA Sports Presenter of the Year. It's Nora Woods.
Hi.
Hi. Nora, how are you?
I'm good. I feel like these guys were just using that introduction as I was walking down as if you were speaking to them. I quite enjoyed it. But I'm good.
Yeah. What a lovely day.
That's your audience.
It is.
Yeah, mid-30s. We've caught you on a sort of rare, mellower day.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, life is so much more mellow than it was probably, I don't know, like 3 months ago whenever I left TalkSport. I don't know when it was, like in July, just like beginning of July, end of June, something like that. As soon as I changed a few things, like I left a few jobs at the same time and I switched things up a little bit and I needed to do it. And like, yeah, life is really chilled at the moment, which is nice. You'll get like a super busy week and then you'll get like this, which is just nice. I'm really sorry about my dog. I told you she likes to walk on the head.
Brilliant.
I'm trying to like keep her in here.
Do you have Lulu on the walk today?
This is Lulu.
Should I hold Lulu?
Yeah, go on, you hold her. She's adorable. She'll stay with you. But if there's another dog around, then just keep her tight.
Yeah, Lulu's got a spurt on.
She's a little bit mental.
You are often described as the best female sports presenter. You kind of are like lady of the moment. Do you feel it?
It's funny because I still feel like a kid in the industry, like, and I think I probably always will. And I look at like, I'm definitely not the best by any stretch of the imagination. I might be like flavour of the month maybe. And like sometimes it happens like that. It goes around in circles and you know, that sort of, the press might like you this week, football, Twitter might like you this week or something like that. Like, I work hard for it. Obviously, like, I try and be as good as I can be, but, like, I'm a way off. Like, I look at Gabby and I'm like, God, that's, like, Gabby's like the queen. Claire Balding, those kind of, like, generation of presenters, they're the ones for me, really. I still, yeah, I don't know.
Is it fair to call them the OGs?
Yeah, like, I mean, you could go even further, like Sue Barker, you could go even further back. Like, yeah. It's funny, like, I appreciate the respect I've earned in the industry, but I also sometimes feel it's like not due. Do you know what I mean?
When it comes to game time,
yeah,
and you're on that pitch or pitch side, do you feel the weight associated sort of with that current trending flavour, let's call it?
I'm really weird like this. I don't know if anyone else is like it, but I can't visualise who's watching. So I find it really hard, which I think is actually really good, because if I knew who was watching or I felt the weight of the number of people, and like during big games and stuff like that, obviously I do feel a little bit of that. But once you're in it, and once you're, it's strange, like when the cameras are on, as soon as you start rehearsing, because you've got so much on your mind, it gets rid of the nerves, but the nerves still come, but they come a little bit earlier. And I'm glad they do, because like, I think if I didn't feel nerves, I don't think I would be in the right space. I think I would probably be in the wrong job. It's massively exciting. I probably feel less, it's not the weight necessarily of me, my reputation, that comes after. If I've made a mistake, then I go, oh no, what about my reputation? But like in the moment, I'm probably thinking more about, don't fuck it up. I feel like the enormity of the occasion more, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't want to fuck it up because those fans will be pissed off with me, or my boss who's put me in this position will be like, why have we done this? All that sort of stuff. And then after, the personal shame comes.
Pressure's a good thing though, right? I feel like pressure is a privilege. Now, we first met, I think, when I came in to shadow you at TalkSport.
Oh my God, it was, yeah.
And it was a bit of a mental day. It was the breaking news of the European Super League. So everybody was extremely tied up with that. So I don't know if you'll remember
this.
I learned that I don't want to do 4 a.m.
starts. Yeah, that's horrible. Honestly, that's horrible.
In sports radio. but I kind of was there, and it was a bit of a busy day. It wasn't the day to be in. Let's just put it like that. I decided I'd offer to make everyone tea and coffee. And I don't know if you'll remember, but it was so lovely of you. You were like, absolutely not. She will not be making the tea or the coffee.
You're a guest. No, yeah. The irony of that is, like, when I started, I absolutely did all of that. But it's because I was there to do that. That was kind of the way in. That was like, you go in as a runner and you want to make friends with everybody and you learn. Like, you were there for a different reason. I would never have allowed you to do that.
Oh, no.
I would not. And
humble.
Also,
humble beginning.
No,
absolutely not.
Yeah, but you're like,
I can make a cup of tea.
No, I wouldn't have enjoyed it. Do you know what I mean? I'd have been drinking guilt. It would have felt disgusting.
Oh, hilarious.
I couldn't have you do it. But yeah, horrible early mornings, right? They're hideous. I think I was in the, when was that? Because I was at Chelsea the night before. I went to Stamford Bridge because they had this whole protest. And it was pretty exciting, actually. But the next morning, I probably only got about 3 hours sleep or 4 hours sleep. But honestly, like, sometimes when you don't get any sleep, they're the best shows. I don't know what, it's annoying. I think it's just because you're running on adrenaline and you're like much sharper. But when I sleep more, I perform, for breakfast anyway, I perform at a completely lower level. It's really weird.
That is odd.
Yeah.
I guess you're awake for less time. I don't know.
Yeah.
Life's changed quite a bit for you. You did 6 years there with Ali McCoist.
Yeah, I loved it. So 3 was spent when Alan Brazil had the breakfast show Mondays to Friday. And I would go in and do the paper review and things like that. And I loved it. And then the next 3 were spent with the breakfast show Monday to Wednesday as mine. And like, it's really hard. Like, those decisions, I'm quite indecisive in general because I get concerned. Like, is this the right thing for me to do and everything? But honestly, I weighed up so many different things in my life. And I was just like, I need a life, like, I need it. And with work, like, you'll know this from being an athlete, you get obsessed with it. And I think you have to be to get to the top of any sort of industry. I think you have to be locked in, obsessed fully. And then you get to a stage and you're like, wow, like, why am I not? I think balance is so important in anything. So even you can have your obsession, but you have to give it space as well. You can't be 100% all the time, and you can't take every job under the sun, which is what I would do to get good at it. And I'm glad I did that. But then, yeah, I got to a point where I was like, I need to have more of a private life. I need to go out and date. I need to see my friends and family.
What was it that made you realize that you needed more of that space?
Honestly, I think, like, and you probably wouldn't know this to look, because once I'm in the studio, at work, anywhere, I'm really happy. Like, I love it. Like, it's great. I like having a purpose. Like, I really enjoy just the process of all the jobs. But I think, like, I was probably really unhappy for quite a long time, like, in myself, like, in my life, and like the balance that I didn't have. And tiredness, honestly, I think people underestimate sleep and how much you need it and how much it can affect your body and just your levels. You know, like, I was just feeling like I didn't feel like myself for a really long time. I didn't want to exercise, I didn't want to socialize, all these different things. So you're not actually going to be 100% into your job if you don't have those other
pillars,
things. Yeah, like, you need to, like, this is the worst analogy, I'm trying to think of a different one.
So no, you need to water all the plants in the garden. The irony is, you can hammer like two ends of the spectrum for a period of time, but it's not sustainable.
No,
and that correlates to diet, exercise, so many different factors in life. But having parked that now, how are you finding that balance and that free time? Is it serving you?
Yeah, it's really weird. So I love, like, I'll read all sorts of stuff about, like, you know, all the woo-woo stuff about how you've got to put out into the universe, like, what you want to get back and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, I think as soon as I made space, like, I don't know, like, physically I made space, and then probably my head felt like just relaxed, and I was relaxed, and I genuinely, like, I don't know, I just started exercising again. I felt the best that I felt for a long time. And I feel now like I'm the best version of myself that I've been for a long time. And I'm grateful for that. You know, like, I'm 36, and I think at this age, it's probably the first time I felt really secure in a lot of different areas. And I like who I am. And I think that's the important thing. Like, you have to really, oh my God, who am I? Like, I love it. I love it. But, like, geez, I've turned into like an Instagram therapist. Dream job, by the way. But yeah, like, I do. I like who I am.
Right, so we've got the woo-woo that you call it. Has that obsession of work, does it translate into wellness as well. Are you obsessive in all pillars of your life?
No. So I wish I was.
What's the situation with that now that you have a bit more time to focus on yourself and the woo-woo?
Well, I was like, as soon as I give up breakfast, I'm going to go to yoga every day. I'm going to be like in the gym all the time. I must have slept for about 2 months. I'm not joking. I was
really?
Like, why is this not kicked in yet? Like, it took a while. Like, the space obviously immediately was great, but it took a while for like my motivation to come back in. And then it peaked for a while and I was like, oh my God, I feel great. And I did, I went to the gym, I did all those things I wanted to do. And then I went out and then I started drinking and then I was like, this is great. And I don't mean like wake up 9 a.m. and have a drink, but I just started saying yes to everything. So like
nice. All
my friends that I haven't seen for ages, they like say yes to all the fun. So I went through that period and now I'm like, I've had a hangover for what feels like about a month. So I'm trying to get back into it, but I'm not good at balance yet. Like I do everything to an extreme, I think.
Yeah.
So like, I won't just go, there's no such thing as just a couple of drinks in the pub for me. Like I'll have to go.
If we're going, we're going in.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like that's
fun.
Just me. I find it's fun. Yeah.
I like that.
It's not bad. Like, who am I kidding? We're going to get blackout drunk. Why not?
It's balance, right? Balance all over.
You've come into football at quite an interesting time, really, especially for the women's game.
Yeah.
What's it been like working on that side? Because sort of in the past, it would have been kind of cast to the side, whereas now it's a privilege to be associated with those girls.
I started working on the Lionesses Games with ITV. I can't remember. I feel like maybe 2 years ago. You're really tempted to go on about the growth in women's football, but just to emphasise the difference between when I started working on it and it was like the stadiums weren't even half full. We had to make sure that the cameras were on the busiest stand so that it didn't look too empty. Yeah, and like, because you still want to make a good show and stuff like that. And it was like the competition in the games was completely different and they would be qualifiers. So like one of them was like 20-0 North Macedonia and things like that. I've never worked on a game where there's so many goals. It was like 10-0 at half time. And I was like, how do we do analysis? Like, what do we do here? And then you fast forward and we just did the Women's World Cup. And I was like, wow, I was just so genuinely impressed with all of it. More so like the competition with the other nations and how that's like just suddenly like shot up and gone wild where we've come as well, like England and the kind of fan base that you have behind it. Hello. And the support is completely different. But I always measure it on, I just think like when you are, I get asked questions a lot about women in sport or women's sport and all that sort of stuff. And like, I always felt like it's just a generational thing. And I think like you as kids so influenced by what your parents like, who they support, what they watch on TV, that becomes your culture and your tradition, doesn't it? And I just think if kids are now getting into it, which they are, with their parents, what I'm hoping happens is that generation of, or just that attitude, I've never understood it. Everyone can enjoy whatever they want to enjoy separately, but that attitude of women shouldn't be playing football, which cracks me up because I'm like, are we allowed to do every other sport apart from football? What is it about football that they're not allowed to do? So I think and I hope that attitude dies with that generation, because that sounds dark, doesn't it? But I love it. I watch my nieces and nephews really get into it and they love it. And the one that I love the most is my brother, works in the city, is an oil broker, lads, you know, that kind of office. And he's so heavily invested in it. Like, even if I'm not working on it, he probably started watching it because I was working on it. And then he got really invested in it. And now he knows all the names. He knows all the players. He'll like watch, you know, like when Russo's going to move to Arsenal and deadline day, he was like keeping an eye on that to find out what's going on. And that's completely organic. And I just think those are the kind of
attitudes that need to be seen, right?
Yeah.
More of that. That's wicked to hear that. When it comes to like the format of TV and broadcast in general, it has changed a lot. How have you seen it changed and how do you see yourself adapting within that format?
I think I got really lucky. So I think what's happened is as I've grown up, the type of presenter that you have fronting a show has gone from being really serious.
Yeah.
Not, I mean, that you'll find different programs with different formats and things like that that are funny and relaxed. But the ones that I remember, like, it being quite serious. And as I've grown up, it's become, I think, more accepted and more encouraged to be a little bit more off the cuff, and your personality is allowed to flourish a bit more. And I got really lucky in that sense, because when I was a bit younger, I wouldn't have been able to break through in that mold. Like, it just wasn't, like, I was terrible with autocue. I thought I had dyslexia completely. I just couldn't read. I was like, what is this? Couldn't get to the end of a sentence without stumbling. And I thought, oh God. And then also, like, I've got a terrible memory. So how am I gonna learn all the lines? And I ended up doing it. And I learned all these different exercises, like, to help my brain remember things. But I remember sitting there and thinking, like, geez, like, why do you want to be a presenter so much when you can't read an auto cue? You've got terrible memory. You're not actually very confident at all. And when you watch yourself back on screen, I couldn't stand it. I still can't do it. Like, I hate it.
So why?
I don't know. I find it really cringe and awkward. My voice sounds different. There's loads of different things I don't like. I didn't understand. I was like, you don't have any of the tools to be a presenter. So then I started going down, like, a kind of a different route, and it was more off the cuff. And I think that's where I had my little breakthrough. And I think that's what works really well in TV and radio, is they don't really want you to be a puppet or a version of somebody else. They want to know who you are, because they want to trust you and they want to get to know you. And I've really benefited from that. And I think radio was massive for me. Like, it just gave me, like, every opportunity to just, like, relax. You can't be anyone else apart from yourself for 4 hours at 6 a.m. And they put me with, horrendous, right? They put me with the best people for me. Like, Ali, obviously, Ali McCoy, I can't speak highly of him, more highly than he just has this unbelievable warmth and charm. Like, me and him would get to the point where we just shoot each other a look, and you know exactly what you're talking about, what you're thinking. And it was just great. And I knew that if I needed a break, or if I needed to kind of do something over here that I couldn't do on air, I'd almost, like, just give it to Ali, and he would just take it to different places. We'd talk about the fucking moon in the morning, you know. It'd be like, it'd always be just like mental, yeah, like, just mental stuff that you want to talk about with your mates down the pub. Ali's that man on air. It was just great. And, like, Jamie O'Hara, I adore the man. And, like, it's funny because Arsenal fans hate Jamie, Spurs fans hate me. Me and him would sit there in the morning and have, like, a massive debate about Spurs and Arsenal. But it's entertaining. Like, we do it because it's entertaining and it's funny. And get me wrong, I believe it. Yeah, like, I believe a lot of it. But I don't have a deep hatred for Spurs or Spurs fans. Like, I don't. Like, I think when you work in TV and radio and you meet some of the players and the managers and things like that, it does reduce a little bit of that tribal attitude.
When it comes to fronting, hosting, anchoring a big game, there are women that have led before you, us, however you want to say it. Do you think they have created the opportunity of trust to allow someone like yourself to rock up and host one of the biggest games of all time?
Yeah, because, okay, so radio, for that particular show, they hadn't had a girl anchoring it before.
Yeah.
And there was a lot made of that when I got that job. But the whole reason I could get there is because all that work was done. Like, all of the really hard work was done. And, like, if you read Gabby Logan's book, like, some of the environments that she had to work in are just horrendous. I don't know how I'd fare in that kind of environment, actually, because I can't keep my mouth shut. Like, I'm very vocal, and I'm very, like, if I think something's wrong, I'll say it. But back in those days, it's not like no one wanted to hear that, I don't think. I think it would have been a really difficult environment to be that sort of person. Like, they didn't really have many whistleblowers back then, did they? Whereas today it's very different, and the landscape is much more level. So, yeah, I look at what they did and what they went through, and I could never take any credit for being any sort of trailblazer. I just don't believe I am. Like, I think there's a younger generation where, like, what we do on social media is a little bit different to what the generation did before, because they didn't have it. So I think there's definitely us lot in our generation. I think we 100% inspire younger boys and girls that are coming through, because they can see us immediately.
They can see it,
yeah. And they almost see it more on social media than they do on the actual telly. So I get that, but I could never.
That's where the TV's changed, hey? Massively.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there anyone that you look to or aspire to that you do try and emulate? Or would you say your style is all you?
Like, similar to? Oh.
Because I could definitely relate more to you in the sense that I'd be more off the cuff, banter. But when it's game on, it's game on.
Yeah. You have like different personalities, I think, sometimes, or not different gears. And that's Fulham, by the way. That's Craven Cottage.
It looks quite nice, Craven Cottage, these days. That's I used Craven. To run this path. Quite
Did
a
you?
Bit.
And they were building that for what felt like
Ever.
An eternity.
But yeah,
that,
like a couple
that's
years.
The new stand, yeah. And on top of it is going to have like a big swimming pool and like a big, what you call it?
I'm assuming you're going to get some sort of premium membership to that, in which I will invite myself
along
to the rooftop pool and the bar.
We can stumble back. Like, honestly, it's so great.
Perfect.
I've tried it. Like, I've tried to be other people and I can't do it. Like, there was a producer once that told me I was really terrible with this screen test that I did. And this producer said to me, like, his feedback was, go and watch the other presenters, see what they do and try and emulate it, basically.
Okay,
and I was like, what? And I couldn't do it, of course.
You're like, I'm just going to be me
in
my vibe.
But you do definitely put on a voice that's not you at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like if I ever went back, I never would, but if I ever went back and watched some of like my early stuff, my voice would be completely different to how it is now. And you get to a point where it clicks and you go, oh, now I can relax. Because it's hard, like it's really difficult to be natural in front of a camera, which is very unnatural.
How would you say you differ day to day from your on screen to off screen? Are you slightly more polished when the lights are on?
Oh yeah. I thought you meant behind the scenes. I was like, no, I'm a slob. I'm an absolute slob. I think people would be kind of surprised at how scatty I am. Like, I'm really scatty. It's something that I'm really trying to work on. Like, I forget everything. I'm late to everything, apart from work.
I was going to say, apart from work. You definitely don't have that representation within the industry.
No, it's like, once I get to work or once I go to work, that's the serious part of my life and I will put everything into it. And I hate letting people down and I only want to be as professional as I can. That can be like, because I've worked behind the camera as well as in front of the camera, that for me extends to all of it. It doesn't just extend to like, what am I doing in front of the camera? Like, I want to know what the edits are and I want to know like how that fits in. And I want to send my ideas to the producer as well and say, can we do this? And the producers that I work with are great. They let me have a say if it's a good idea, obviously. They let me have a say on the show and they incorporate my ideas. And I love that. But behind the scenes, like as soon as I'm out of work, I don't know. I think if you listen to TalkSport, maybe you'd probably not be surprised because that's where you get to spend your time on air, talking a little bit about your life as well, which you never would on TV. You know, TV's like 3-minute sections.
Boom,
you're
boom, boom.
Queuing someone up to get their opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter. Whereas on TalkSport, you know, like we could spend a section talking about our night out or something like that. And it was just accepted and it was great. So I think if you listen to TalkSport, you'd probably understand I'm that person. Like I'm very laid back, sometimes probably too laid back. That's why in my life, I think I probably need a little bit more structure.
And where do you think that structure will come from now you've got the time?
I need to find a way of like getting discipline in my life. So how do
but
I, like
do
you could teach me discipline.
But
like,
do you need discipline if you've already got discipline in your work? So that's the question. Then that's the balance sometimes.
I think I do, yeah, because I know what's good for me. So I know if I go to the gym 3 times a week, that will make me feel really good. And I know it will help me clear out the cupboard that I haven't looked at for about 5 years, or do the paperwork, do my receipts, which are late, by the way. And I've had to have an extension. And my accountant knew that would happen. He was like, look, you need to get them in by September. And I was like, of course I will.
Yeah.
And he called me up. He's like, I've got you an extension. And I was like, bless you.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much. Because it's just something I can't do. So, yeah,
this
I need to find that.
Also, delegation, I think, is very important.
Yeah.
So my nan does my invoicing. She's my PA.
Are you serious?
Yeah, brilliant.
How old is she?
She is 83.
Does she want to work for me too?
Maybe. I think it's going to go as far as just doing the invoices. I think the receipts will have to be dealt with. But we'll speak to Nanny Ott. We'll see see what she can do.
I need it.
But I think delegation is something that I think is extremely hard to do when you're a perfectionist and everything you do is obsessive. But
you want to
there
do it
becomes
yourself.
A point where actually you're better off siphoning everything out. So you've got that free time
I agree.
Actually just be, rather than be in a state of constantly doing.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm trying to achieve anyway.
I agree with you, but it's funny because like being, like you say, being that perfectionist in your job means that if you get someone into work for you, I would be like, ah, I don't think they're going to be able to like do it how I do, or I don't think they're going to understand what that receipt is for and all that sort of thing. But yeah, you're right. That's the art of delegation, isn't it? Letting go a little bit and trusting somebody else.
Mm. Now, we are living in the day of social media. We touched on it earlier. And your Instagram is relatively free-spirited, which is really nice to see. And I think that makes you really, really relatable because you are the consummate professional on air. And then there's this sort of beautifully rogue and slightly open side. And I think a lot of people connect with that. Has it ever caused you any problems? Because I'd say I'm sort of private. I kind of keep a little bit of that back, you know.
Yeah.
What's the situ?
I am really private. Like if you looked at my Instagram, like someone said to me the other day, someone commented on my photo and said, you need to keep things private. And I was like, trust me, I do. Like I only show you what I'm comfortable showing you.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about my life. You don't know anything that's happening that I don't want you to see. And I like to keep it like that. I like to keep it like that as much as possible.
There's a laugh.
But yeah, I obviously, you guys were here like an hour before because I made a slight error. And you know when you upload something to your main feed that's meant to be like close friends?
Close friends, yes.
I didn't even know I could do that, to be fair, but I did. And it was like, let me tell you how much that turns me inside out for like people to see anything private about me and like a relationship is basically what it is. Like for anyone to see that part of me like fills me with dread. Sounds like it's a bad thing, but only because I associate social media and relationships in a bad way. Like I'm almost like a nothing good can come from
sharing something private.
Yeah, like why? I don't know, maybe I've learned, maybe it's something historic. Yeah, I think with relationships, I've just never thought it's a good idea to share them.
It bother you when your private life does seep into the public eye?
Yeah, it does. It does. And you kind of go, right, how do I control this? So it's always about control with me. Like I just like to keep things separate. That's kind of what I want. And I think my job as well, like it's a bit of a unique situation, isn't it? Where you work, the target audience really, or the majority of our audience is male. So I don't know, maybe like if I had more of a female following, I might be more tempted to show that part of me. But to be honest, I don't think it would be. I think it's just something that I've adopted as I've become a little bit more in the public eye. And it's weird, like when you start to generate articles, and it could be about something completely meaningless.
We're talking headlines here.
Yeah, that was weird to me. That started happening more like after the World Cup. And I was like, wow, like I'm generating articles. Like, do I need to be a bit more careful and things like that? I don't believe anything I do is wrong, but does it kind of waver into your private life a bit more? I don't know. But yeah, like relationships and stuff like that, that's something I do like to keep completely separate. But recently that then started spilling in, and I've had a situation where like I'd been on a date and someone in the pub had called the papers.
No.
And that became,
oh, that sucks.
Yeah, and then that became a headline, and then so all of a sudden something that you're not sure about what it is yet either, yeah, you're just getting to know somebody, and it's a bit awkward, like trying to get to know someone where all you can do is be in a house or be somewhere completely private. I don't know many places that exist for you to kind of do that. So that becomes a headline. And then all of a sudden you're like, fuck me, like I'm going to now have to, I don't know, like people are asking questions about it and I don't have the answers yet because it's so early days. Yeah, I don't even know.
As someone in the public eye, have you found that side of dating quite hard? Because
yeah,
I've got a lot of incredible friends who are all single, all female, total like power women bosses, and there seems to be a trending theme. Is that something that you found tricky in the position you're in?
Yeah, I think there's a number of reasons for my job. I'm the same, by the way. I have so many friends in the industry that are unbelievable women. And we're all around the same age group. And I think for me, I probably actively put my career first. And what I mean by that is I would work all hours of the day. And I wanted to be there because I was obsessed, like I loved it. But it does mean that you just don't have space in your mind to focus on something else.
Yeah.
Whereas like somebody else might have met someone in the pub and then they've got all the time in the world to explore that. Whereas I'm off to Burnley and I'm off to here and I'm like, go down
all
to
of these really like, yeah, exotic exactly. locations like, to stand on the side of
I'm going to
pitch.
Blackpool for the darts sometimes.
In the rain.
Like, yeah, exactly. So I wanted that, you know, I wanted to do that. So
yeah.
Therefore, the relationships in my life, let's say, I would never have considered them as anything serious.
Yeah.
And then after a while, like that is a part of your life that if you don't have someone to share it all with, you get sad. Yeah,
yeah,
you get sad, you get lonely, you approach or you attract the wrong kind of attention, things like that. And I just got bored of that. I didn't want to do that.
Has it got to a point where you're like, okay, you know, there's this sort of, it depends where you live, I think, in the country, but living in London, it is a very fast paced lifestyle. And it's pretty normal to be single in your mid 30s. But has it got to a point where you're like, oh God, this is kind of the next phase? And I want to crack on with that, or has that not hit you yet?
I would say, like, if, for example, you removed, if I didn't know what age I was and I didn't know the expectation of women my age.
It's the pressure and expectation.
Yeah,
hey?
I'd be really chilled right now because I don't have that drive yet. Like, I'm very happy with who I am at the moment, but I'm probably still learning a lot of things and like babies, marriage, all sort of that stuff, like for the last however many years. Since it's become a question that I get asked all the time, like I'll sit next to someone at a dinner and they'll go, are you married? And I'll go, no. All right, are you single then? And I'll go, yeah, like I'm single and stuff. And they're like, how old are you? And then as soon as they say 36, they go,
ooh.
like, are you okay? Like, do you know what? And I'm like, yes, I'm a woman. I know what happens. But like,
you're like, I'm actually living my best life.
Yeah, like I'm happy right now. And I want to do it in my own way. There's nothing about that life yet that makes me go, if I had it, I'd be happier. I'm not going to force something on myself until I meet that person that I want to do all those things with. And I'm sure when that happens, I will completely change my perspective. Like, I think my priorities will probably change, all that sort of stuff.
When it's the right person.
Yeah, but you have to get there at the right time.
Exactly.
You have to do it in your own way. So, yeah, like, I do think, like, that's one of the things that bugs me the most. Because when I do settle down properly and get married, there's no going back. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That is it. So I want to have my
when
son
you're
and
in,
son
you're
as
in.
Long as I can. Yeah, exactly. There's no going back. I don't want to get divorced. I want to be in it 100%.
Yeah.
And I think I'll appreciate the experiences that I've had a lot
sure.
more. And the relationship / marriage, motherhood, all that sort of stuff. I think I'll appreciate that a lot more too. Amy, this is so deep. Why are you making me go?
Now, sport is something that brings the world together, but it can also create huge disjoint, and that comes down to the fine line of what team you support and what side of the river you live on. A lot of that hate is translated through social media.
Mm.
Do you feel that judgment, you know, working in football, and that criticism?
Yeah, the bit that bugs me the most is I would love to get all those people in the room and go, right, you called me fat, you called me skinny, you said that I am nearly 40 and childless and I need to buck up my ideas. You're telling me I shouldn't date this person because you think you know him better than I do. Like all of these different things, like I've had it all. Most of the time you go, right, I'm just not going to let that get to me or whatever. But like every now and then you kind of go, yeah, this is actually a bit shit. And why do I have to
deal
take
with
everybody
it.
Else's boxes?
Do you read it?
Yeah, sometimes I do, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
So like I've changed a lot of my settings now and I can't see certain things. So people might be tweeting me and I'll never read it. But also like back in the day, I used to meticulously read every single tweet. Now if I like refresh and there's a lot, I'll read the top one and then I'll go, I'm done. Because you have to learn to separate it because these people aren't, like, why would I, for example?
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah, like, why
say it
would
to my
I,
face.
why would I allow that opinion of somebody that doesn't actually know who I am to influence the way that I live my life? So I have to separate it. But it's hard to. Like, I'm sensitive, like I am. And I'm a people pleaser. I want everyone to be happy, and I don't want to upset anybody particularly or offend anyone. But then you live your life by trying to make those people happy, and you end up not being happy in yourself. So, yeah, it does bother me, but you've got to get to a point where you don't look at it. Like, it's there. You know, there's always going to be something there.
What would you say to someone that's coming up through the ranks that's maybe struggling or suffering with that, whether it's football related or not? What's been your tool to being able to kind of park it and move forward?
I have actually got a friend who, he has his own YouTube channel and he does some really great content. And he did contact me and he was like, how do you deal with a lot of that shit? Because the more well-known you become, the more that happens and the more it comes up. So, and actually the vitriol sometimes gets a little bit greater. But the one thing I said to him was, I was like, you just wouldn't allow someone standing outside your house telling you you're this and you're that to actually like come into your home, would you? You wouldn't let them in your house.
No, you wouldn't let them into your nest.
Yeah. So every time you're opening social media, you are in a way allowing them into your head, put it like that. So I said to him, I was like, only open it if you're feeling really like stable, if you're in a stable mood. So if you're tired or you're a little bit emotional, something like that, don't do it. Like if my team loses, for example, I'm not going anywhere near it. Because what am I going to see? Loads of people berating me. So I'm going to make myself feel even worse. So like that's the thing.
That's mad that that's even a thing though. You know? That's the position you're in life.
I know.
Arsenal, and it bothers doing me badly and you're going to get.
Yeah, it bothers me. It was worse when Arsenal would lose and you had to get up at 4 a.m.
and talk about it
and go on the radio and there's nowhere to hide and you have to read all the messages. And I was like, this is the worst punishment you could give to someone.
It's like public abuse.
Constantly. It's like being like stuck in the docks and everyone's like throwing rotten apples and stuff and you have to have it because you're being paid to be there and broadcast.
Brutal.
Yeah, put yourself in the best shape to listen to it. And if you don't think you're in the best shape,
then don't.
That whatever that person says is going to hurt you 10 times more. So I would do that. I also would just think, try and rationalize it. So like sometimes if someone sends me something awful, which I have got like a few times, if someone sends me something awful, I'll have a look at their page and I'll be like, okay, like who are they interacting with? And it would just be like a stream of shit about whatever. So all they do is send shit to everybody. And sometimes I respond and other times I think no, because I think that's actually what you want.
Yeah, you don't deserve my time.
Yeah. But how weird that you have a job where it's unlike like anybody who kind of is in the public eye for whatever reason, there are massive benefits to it. It's amazing. Like it's great. Like we get to go and do the most amazing games and interview the most amazing people. But it also gives people access to you in a way that like...
They think they own you.
Yeah, and you're not really trained. Yeah. Not really ever trained to accept or reject that feedback. That's feedback on a completely different level. I've never gone to a class that says, right, here's how you deal with social media abuse.
Like, maybe we should start one.
Shall we?
Right now.
Can you imagine? I'd be like, right, here's a really good comeback for this.
Putney Riverside.
By the pub. Oh, you must be drunk.
So first of all, we're going to start with...
It's like seriously, especially the youngsters, like I really worry about youngsters that are coming through because it's safety as well. Like there's so many young girls that I speak to that have YouTube channels and social media presences and I think they're amazing and like writers and bloggers and all that sort of stuff and presenters in the making, but they're dealing with like a different layer of social media even to what I deal with now.
Yeah,
like it's a real cult thing and it's football can be amazing on Twitter, but it can also be really a really nasty place if it's against you. So yeah, like wow, I don't know how I'd deal with it if I was that age.
Actually
yeah, because we're adults, you know what I mean? Like I'm old enough and ugly enough now to go, oh, Bob from West Brom has just called me a cunt. Like, I can deal with that. But if you're a 16-year-old girl
and you
see that, you're like...
Oh. That can affect you. It could change.
Yeah, and it would hurt.
Fully, not only change your day, it could change your week.
Yeah.
It could change your month, depending on how you take on board that feedback.
Yeah.
So, Woodsy, I've got to ask you, what is your relationship like with Monday as an obsessive... workaholic? Does it excite you?
Mondays So like totally different now. I don't really work Mondays anymore.
Okay, so it's a day off.
And it's amazing, yeah. So like used to be Monday morning would be, I probably would have been at a game the day before. I might have been at two games over the weekend. I might have done a load of traveling.
Yeah.
And then 4 o'clock in the morning, alarm goes off. Especially like September, October. To be honest, November was the worst. November and January, worst time of year.
Oh, it's so
show.
It's so gross,
bleak,
isn't it?
Dark, like
get
horrendous.
Me out of here. I'm going.
Cold, like, yeah. And then you'd get up, you go into work, and once you're in there, it's great. But that process was brutal. Like honestly, every morning without fail, I would question what I was doing with my life. I'd be like, how can I continue doing this job? And then once you're in the studio, amazing. But yeah,
how different. Did you push through that though on those dark mornings? Because people are going to listen to this,
yeah,
and they're going to be getting up because yeah. It's already dark in the morning. What got you out of bed?
I think like having some sort of a routine was good.
Yeah,
like trying to make sure that you like had a decent amount of sleep. But I would also, I'd have to order everything the night before. Like I would put my clothes out, and that would save me a little bit of stress in the morning deciding what to wear or something like that. And then I would know, like, look, be healthy, like have something healthy that you've made for breakfast. Then that would just make me feel like I've started the day in the right way. As soon as I'd walk in and I'd see the boys and the girls in the office, all of that would go. Because then you're like, I don't know, I'm a people person. So
people are everything, aren't they?
They are. And
fuels the soul.
Them. Yeah. I loved the people that I worked with. Like, I'm 100% sure we'll stay friends forever. And then it was like, imagine getting in. And as soon as you get in, you're gossiping about the weekend and you're talking about what happened, what game you were at, this and that, who got sent off, who scored goals. Like, it's just fun. It's like, it's basically, I know I keep referring to the pub and I'm not, like, but it is
there's
a little
a trendy
bit like
thing
that.
There,
yeah. It is a bit like that. Like, what would you guys say down the pub with your mates?
Yeah.
That was what our job was, and it was just fab, minus the alcohol. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, my advice, I did not do it very well. Like, I don't know if I can give the best advice. I would just say try and make your job in the morning, which will feel horrendous at the time, try and make it as easy as you can.
Simple.
Yeah, make it simple.
Roll out of bed into
your
clothes.
Shoes. Exactly. That's... like have your shoes and your socks there. Like just, I don't know, do something that's going to have all of, make everything that you need the night before, even though it's going to be a bit of a pain in the ass on a Sunday night. Just do everything you can to take away any complication, and then it's just going to feel a lot easier. That's what I did. Sometimes.
And lastly, Laura, yeah. We like to ask all our guests if they've got any life mottos or quotes that they live by. But I'm going to alter it slightly for you because you've got this abundance of sort of light energy. What is it that makes you happy?
Oh my God, that's so deep. Wow, what makes me happy?
You know, you share sunshine.
Oh,
so how can our listeners have a little bit more of that in their lives?
I think make sure you surround yourself with the right people and don't stretch yourself too much. Nothing is that serious that you think is that bad at the time. Like there's a saying, and I'm definitely going to butcher it, which is something along the lines of like, today's news is tomorrow's, what is it again? Chip shop paper or something like that. You know, the paper that you put chips
yeah,
in.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Someone wrote it much more fluidly than I could even like deliver it. But anyway, like nothing is really as bad as you seem. And also like, I don't know, in terms of like industry stuff, everything, you get better at everything. So like, even if you think you're a bit shit at the beginning, you're fine. You're just finding your way. So give yourself a break. Like, honestly, like the amount of times I've gone, like in general as well, actually, just give yourself a break. Like, don't beat yourself up so much about something, because generally you think everyone is talking about you or looking at you or like judging you. They've got their own shit going on. Sometimes people forget that.
No one really cares, do
they? No one really cares. Just enjoy it. Enjoy life. Like I love people. I love my friends and family and the dog and the people that I meet and all that sort of stuff. And like, I really don't think that we spend enough time focusing on those kind of relationships. And then you'll get to a point and you'll be like, wow, I missed it all. So.
Be present.
That's the one. I could have summed that all up in two words.
It's okay.
Just be present.
You got me there.
We compliment each other.
Lastly, did you go and play darts with Sam Thompson and Pete Wicks, because they were very excited about the prospect of that.
I know. You know what? Genuinely, I haven't done it yet. But you know when you say you're going to do something, I meant it. So like, we will go. Do you want to come?
I'll come. Yeah.
Should we go as a group?
Yeah. Okay, so another podcast promise. Fulham Football Club rooftop pool party and darts. Don't know if darts is my thing. I think I might opt more for the pool.
But shall we just invite them there instead?
Much better option.
Shall we do that?
And they could throw pretend darts, those Nerf things off the roof.
And also, Flight Club, where we wanted to go, is all the way over the other side of London. Yeah, we don't want to go that way.
West is best.
Yeah, exactly.
West is best.
There we go.
Yeah. Monday Mar listeners, it is a wrap. Lawrence, thank you so much for coming for a very long walk and tour with the doggo.
Thanks for holding her.
She was great.
She's napping, isn't she?
I think she's very, very tired. Monday Mar listeners, you know what to do. Do make sure you subscribe. The podcast audio will be dropping every single Monday morning at 1 a.m. for you early risers. Hope you enjoyed this one. Have an absolutely wicked week. It's a wrap.